Every opinion counts with Evan and Tiki. Join the conversation weekdays from 10 to 2. Call 888-808-1019. The WFAN phone line is powered by Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus presents the biggest summer in UFC history.
Tommy Lou Gowerd.
Start dart.
I love Tommy.
No biggie.
Yeah, dudes, dogs, and damage.
I believe in positive Tommy.
Oh, I've been working nights.
Tommy the legend.
We all know Tommy Lugauer is a generational talent.
It's After Hours with Tommy Lugauer on The Fan.
Say it, honey.
All right, let's go. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. All right, Yankee fans, let's get to the good first before we get to the bad, and there is a lot of bad, but the good news that came out of Wednesday is Aaron Judge underwent scans and has been cleared for light activity, including outdoor running. I'm not sure if he's cleared for indoor running. Is there really a difference? What if he wanted to run inside? I guess he can only run outside, but and also upper body resistance. This is from Aaron Boone. Now, good news. Not the news you need because it's not, I think, taking swings and full baseball activity, but it's something. It's a step in the right direction, which is great news. But my thing is, Brian Cashman just met the media on Monday and was so ho-hum about if Aaron Judge had already gotten a scan, if he was going to get a scan, when that scan might be. And here we are a couple days later, and there's already results. So it means Aaron Judge either got the scan in the last couple days or he had gotten it when Brian Cashman met the media on Monday. So why the cloak and dagger? Why does it have to be like Area 51? Why does it have to be so tight-lipped? Just say on Monday what the deal was. And if you didn't know the full details of it, just say, hey, yeah, he's going for a scan in a day or two. I don't understand that. That to me is a major head-scratcher because on Monday, and I've been as optimistic as anybody when it comes to Aaron Judge and his return to the field. I mean, originally I thought mid-August. Then I was thinking early September. But a couple of days ago when I heard Brian Cashman speak about this and Aaron Judge's return, for the first time I had my doubts that Judge would be back on the field this year. And here we are a couple days later, and it's not the ultimate clearance, meaning Aaron Judge can't start ramping up to play baseball starting today, but he can do some outdoor running and upper body resistance, which is at least a step in the right direction. I just don't understand why this couldn't be talked about a couple days ago. I really can't. I know it's Aaron Judge. I'm sure he controls his narrative, and he wants to do it himself, and he wants to meet the media and this whole song and dance, but it's just odd to me that you have your general manager out there 48 hours ago and he's basically tight-lipped and cloak and dagger and acting like it's the greatest trade secrets that he doesn't want to give up. Meanwhile, here we are literally 48 hours later and we find out that Aaron Judge underwent scans and has been cleared for light activity, which is good news because certainly the Yankees need his bat in the lineup and tonight was a major example of that. It was just anemic, to say the least. I mean, the Cardinals and their awful, awful bullpen did everything in their power to hand the Yankees this victory. I mean, they walked the ballpark all night. They gave the Yankees countless opportunities over and over and over again, and the Yankees were unable to cash in. And it was just a further reminder that this team does not have a championship offense. They have a championship pitching staff. Certainly with their three aces, this bullpen, I mean, Paul Blackburn, I can't say enough great things about him. Bednar, can't say enough great things about him. Edrick, can't say enough great things about him. This pitching staff, really top to bottom, when you look at it from an October postseason perspective, it is a championship rotation and a championship pitching staff. But this offense is not. And they certainly need Aaron Judge back in the lineup. And as far as tonight, a couple of things. Ali Sanchez being up in a big spot, and it's a big spot because, don't look now, the Red Sox won again, and they now are tied in the loss column with the Yankees. So not only, and the Rays won again, so not only are the Yankees looking up at the Rays, but now they are side by side with the Red Sox. So these are critical games, and these are critical at-bats. And you have Ali Sanchez up there, with the game on the line. Two things. Number one, the fact that Ollie Sanchez is even on this team is a further indictment of the trade deadline and how underwhelming it was and how incomplete it was. The fact that the Yankees and Brian Cashman did not bring in a professional catcher, and you have Ollie Sanchez taking a major critical at bat in a game that, look, I think going forward, you could look at all these games. If the Red Sox continue to play like this, every game is looking like a must-win, which obviously is a hyperbolic statement, but you know what I mean. I mean, if Boston doesn't cool down, the Yankees are going to be looking up at them too. And things are not going to get any easier with the Braves coming up for the Yankees. But Ollie Sanchez, this reminds me of a Scarer earlier in the year, which Aaron Boone wanted to let everybody know that he was a top 15 catcher in the sport. Meanwhile, he's not even a major leaguer. And neither is Sanchez. And he shouldn't be on the roster right now. He should be gone. We talked about this a week or so ago, that game against the White Sox where Sanchez had that awful boneheaded decision where he threw the ball in the left field. And I said, Aaron Boone had an opportunity to make an example out of him and maybe not overly criticize him, but just say, hey, look, bad decision. He knows better. We know better. We'll move on and we'll be a better team because of this. And I said, it's a perfect guy to make an example of because Ollie Sanchez is not going to be here in a week. Well, here we are a week later, and not only is Ollie Sanchez here, but he's up with the game on the line. That's embarrassing. You had a trade deadline to acquire a catcher. Not only did you strike out there, but your competition got better at the catcher position. So it is a further indictment on this Brian Cashman 2026 trade deadline that was not only underwhelming, but incomplete. Now let me get to Boone. How on earth do you take Luis Garcia Jr. out of this game? I thought he was hurt. I mean, I've been asking around. I'm like, is he injured? You brought this guy over here to be an impact bat, and he is. And every time he swings and makes contact, the ball goes about 1,000 miles an hour off his bat. He's having a career year. To me, he is your best option right now at the plate. And you take him out of the game, so you get caught with your pants down and Ollie Sanchez, who shouldn't be on the roster, but yet he also shouldn't be at the plate in a big spot in the ninth inning. And yet here we are. I could see if you were worried about a lefty matchup because we know Garcia doesn't hit lefties, but even still, this is dire straits. You can't be worried about righty-lefty right now, and you can't be worried about splits. Not until Bellinger and Stanton and Judge all return. You have to go with your best guys. And the fact that Garcia could have been at the plate there with a chance to do some serious damage, so to speak, and instead you had Ollie Sanchez up there, which is an Aaron Boone special. So to me, you could tag team this one, Boone and Cashman. Cashman as far as not trading for a catcher, so that Sanchez is still on this roster, and the fact that Aaron Boone, and by the way, you could have pinch hit for Ollie Sanchez. You could have picked somebody from the sixth row to come in there and take an at-bat. That would have been smarter strategy. But taking Garcia out of the game, not pinch hitting for Sanchez, just sort of dying on the sword, Sanchez even being on the roster, the anemic offense, and is there a sense of urgency? Because there should be. The Rays are not going anywhere, and the Red Sox are literally side by side with you now. Side by side. And they are, I believe, 31-5 in their last 36 games. And now you have Atlanta coming into town. A team that you know could put up a lot of runs, or as Aaron Boone likes to call it, points. The Judge news is really good, and that's, I think, a big story. But this game, to me, is such an indictment on the trade deadline and Aaron Boone as a manager. The fact that Garcia's not up there in the ninth, the fact that you don't pinch hit for Sanchez, the fact that you just die on the sword here with a weak hitter, and you just throw away a game. Like, well, I'll just throw away a game. It's fine. And you lose 2 out of 3 to a bad Cardinal team. A team that came in that couldn't score any runs, couldn't do anything, and you allowed them to take 2 out of 3 from you because your offense can't put up any runs, or as Aaron Boone, like I said, calls it, points. Well, here's the point. The point is, you needed to go get a catcher 2 days ago, and you didn't. And now you are stuck with this catcher situation, which offensively is a disaster. And you could use George Lombard Jr. all you want. Oh, here's this dangly, shiny object over here, and he's been great in two games. And the defense is a walking golden glove. Or gold glove. I think I had a golden globes on my mind there. Either way, I just created a new award. It's fine. Or golden at bat, like the Savannah Bananas. You can dangle Lombard Jr. all you want. The fact of the matter remains, you didn't trade for a catcher. Aaron Boone, terrible mistakes last night. And now you have the Red Sox, the surging Red Sox, who have been the hottest and really best team in baseball for months now, are not on your heels, they're at your side. And the Rays are ahead of you. And now you start to, it's fair to have this conversation now. You know, look, I've been very positive when it comes to the Yankees, very optimistic, talking about going to the World Series, all those things. But now we have to have this conversation. Oh, the American League is weak. I've been saying that since April. But on August 6th, we have to have this convo now. There is a path to the Yankees going to Boston for a wild card series. And that is something that if you're Aaron Boone and the Yankees, you want no part of. You want no part of that. Because if you get bounced, and this is obviously with Judge coming back, because that would be a massive, you know, if Judge isn't there, you could always say, well, Aaron Judge didn't return, and Stanton didn't return, and okay. But if you lose in the wild card round, even to a team like the Red Sox who feel like a team of destiny, that is a massively disappointing season. And just further proof that they shouldn't have ran it back. But it's fair to have that conversation now. I mean, honestly, if the Yankees continue to sort of tread water, this is like crazy sort of backwards thinking, but you almost rather Boston win the damn division. And okay, we'll go to Tampa, which is also a house of horrors for the Yankees. And Tampa does a lot of things that can frustrate you, and that small ball, and they can pitch, and all the above that give the Yankees problems. You don't want to be a prisoner of the moment, but it feels like this slow burn here now with Boston on the run they've had, Tampa maintaining their, I don't think they're a great team, but they've been very good this year. And the Yankees are just, they're behind the eight ball every single night because they can't hit. And they have guys on their team that shouldn't be in the majors. They're the Yankees! And they have a catcher, two catchers really, that shouldn't even be here. And you allowed your competition to go out and get catchers. The teams in your division. And the hitter that you got, which look, a couple things here. Garcia, I will give Cashman credit for that, for sure. You got the best hitter at the deadline. You could have also got a rise. Now, if we're really thinking outside the box, we really want to shake things up, we really want to try something, you could put Jazz in center, you could have put a rise at second. But instead, you're going to wheel out Trent Grisham every single night as he hits 220 for the rest of the year because he's not going to do anything. I know it, you know it, we all know it. Last year was a total aberration for Trent Grisham. He was never, ever going to come close to putting up those numbers again. You could have put Jazz in center. You could have put Arise at second base. Heck, you could have even put Jazz at third. I know he doesn't play a great third base, but you could have done that. But no, let's let Arise go to the Phillies. Let's bring in Garcia, who has an extremely live bat, who's having a career year, who's a monster at the plate. Let's take him out so that when the ninth inning rolls around and the game is on the line, we have Ali Sanchez at the plate. And you can't be messing around right now because of the way Boston is playing. Because if you continue to have these type of, and look, the Cardinals did, this is one of those, like this is a Yankee made to order special, this Cardinal team. They're a weak hitting team. Their bullpen sucks. This is usually in the past the type of team that the Yankees would bully, beat up, and embarrass in a three-game series. This is a ready-made-to-order type of roster. The Yankees lick their chops when they see this type of bullpen, especially on a night where they're walking the ballpark, and they gave you every single opportunity to cash in, and the Yankees weren't able to do that. But the fact that you have Ollie Sanchez up there in that spot and you don't pinch hit, you don't have him off the roster, you don't have a professional catcher here, there's no other word I could use but embarrassing. Just like it was embarrassing to have Escara up at the plate in a big spot. I think it was against, I forgot who it was, but maybe the Royals, Kansas City, somebody like that, Seattle, somebody early in the year, and Escara made the final out. I remember coming on the air and just being like, well, how in the world is JT Escara at the plate in that spot? Tough to give away games. If you had a 15-game lead in your division, fine. But you are in a real, I mean, you are sandwiched, and now you are part of the bread with Boston. You're no longer the meat. You are now a slice of bread. There is no meat, in fact. It's just a bread sandwich. But soon, Boston's going to be the meat if they continue to play the way they're playing, and there's no reason not to think that they will. And the Yankees are going to be looking up at Tampa and Boston. Unless they, but you know what? Okay, Aaron Judge, yes, good news. You want to put the word very in front of good, fine. But he hasn't been fully cleared for baseball activities. So we're still a month plus, I would say, from Aaron Judge returning to the lineup. Everybody talks about Stanton like he's coming back. Okay, wake me up when he does. And then when he does, he's going to need an off day every 2 days. Plus, you already have a log jam because you already have 16 DHs on the team. So where's everybody playing? Bellinger is still 3-4 weeks away. Not that he was tearing the cover off the ball anyway, but you still would welcome him back. And I can't get in the DeLorean, and I can't find Doc Brown, and I can't go back in time. But you could have gotten a rise. You should have gotten a catcher. You could have went the extra mile. You could do like the Dodgers do, which is, hey, we got this great rotation, but we're going to trade for Skubal anyway. By the way, I'm not saying the Yankees should have traded for Skubal. My point is that the Dodgers live in excess. They don't need Skubal, but why not? We'll take him. The Yankees needed bats, and they got some. They didn't get enough. And they are banking on a lot of these guys not only coming back, but also coming back and being at tip-top performance. That's a lot to ask for with all three of those guys, quite frankly. And there's nothing you can do about the Red Sox. I mean, that's out of your control. You have to farm your own land. But that's why you can't give away games like this, and you have to take advantage against a weak team at home. A light-hitting, bad bullpen team that just, they wanted to gift-wrap the game for you tonight. They were like, please, we don't want this game. You guys take it. We'll walk the entire ballpark. And opportunity after opportunity slip by and slip through the fingertips of the Yankees and their offense, which is a major issue right now. On the bright side of things, the pitching remains strong. Aaron Judge is at least somewhat on the mend. That's the bright side. That's the bright side. But decisions like, and like I said, I asked around, I was like, is Luis Garcia Jr. hurt? Because that's the only reason he should be out of the lineup and not there at the end of that game with a bat in his hands. And honestly, the guy selling hot dogs or peanuts or Cracker Jacks has a better shot than Ollie Sanchez in the ninth inning. So maybe try him and pinch hit. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer. It is Lugie in the late night. Let's lead it off with Hector. He joins us from the Bronx. What's going on, Hector?
Oh, man, Lugie, how you doing tonight?
What's happening?
Not much. Hey, Luke, I got a prediction, but before I give my bold prediction, I just want to tell you what pisses me off about tonight's game. I think, like you said, you know, a few other times, this is probably Boone's best year as manager. I agree with that.
Yep.
But I just feel like last night he fumbled a few things. With that being, like, how many times the two rally kills on our team, being McMahon and Wells, are going to come up in big spots, and you just keep dying on that same sword? Like, Wells grounds to a double play, I think, in the fifth inning, and then next inning, bases loaded, and you got McMahon up there, which shouldn't be at, you know, perhaps our pinch it is.
That Wells one was such a backbreaker, too. It was just, you could feel that Wells, and he got booed. You could just hear the air come out of the place, and they got a couple of guys on, and I think McMahon walked, Lombard singled, and here comes Austin Wells, and he just gives you a non-competitive at-bat, a weak ground ball to the pitcher, easy double play, and it's, just, yeah, like I said, the fact that Wells and Sanchez, to me, are on this roster, both of them, is a further indictment of Cashman, and then the fact that Sanchez is up there in the ninth inning is an indictment on Boone. And like you said, when you have bad hitters in your lineup, Hector, much like a bad fielder, the rallies find them. You know what I mean? Like, they always seem to come up into big spots, and you just have no faith in either one of them.
Zero faith. Now, my bold prediction, the reason why my prediction is going to be the way it is because I'm not – let me just add, I'm not worried about the Red Sox.
Okay.
I know they're hot right now, but they stunk for the majority of the season, and they're having a hot streak. That's cool and all that.
Well, I mean,
had two guys.
Some hot streak, though. It's been for a few months. No, but I mean, I hear what you're saying, but like to call it, at some point, though, it's no longer a hot streak, and they're for real.
No, it's legit. I give them credit. It's legit. But what doesn't really, the reason why I'm not worried about them is because there's two guys on that team that when they were on our team, they showed us that during pressure, they cracked.
Sonny Gray.
Sonny Gray and Chapman.
Yes.
Chapman will walk the yard and he'll start sweating profusely, you know, when it comes down to it.
Sonny Gray is having an unreal season. But listen, what you said there is fair, but Sonny Gray and Chapman have been a sensational this year.
Now, my prediction for you here is this, Louie. I want to make you a bet.
Love
Not
it.
Money bet, but
okay. You
follow me back on Instagram if I'm correct here. How about that one? Now, I say it's going to be the World Series. I think my Yanks are gonna make it and dust themselves off and get there. And I do not think it's going to be the Dodgers. For some reason, I don't think the Dodgers are going to be there. I think it's going to be the Yanks. And, I think it's
going
to be
somebody else out of the field. Yeah, you could take the field. That's fair. You could take the field on that one.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be the Dodgers. For some reason, I think that they're not gonna come through again. And I'm going to stand on that. And like I said, if I'm right, can I get a follow back? That's all I'm asking.
Of course. But I'll tell you this, Hector, though. It's the fact that it felt like it pained you to say Brewers there. You don't want to say it. You're thinking of a team. You're like, because in any other situation, you would pick the Brewers because they have the best record in baseball. But you're like, I don't really want to take Milwaukee here. But you should just take the field. That's the smart play there.
I was going to actually say a surprise team, like the Cubbies. But
Cubs are good. Listen, they revamped their you know what? I like the Cubs. I've said this about the Cubs. When I watch the Cubs, and this is a Yankee night, and we'll touch on the stuff with the meeting with Soto and Lindor, but it's going to be mostly Yankees here. The Cubs play baseball the way that I think David Stearns envisions the Mets playing. I mean, they play hard. They play great defense. Now they brought in a lot of pitching, basically thanks to the Mets, and they're well managed. I really like the way the Cubs play baseball, and I hear you. And I think they can be dangerous. And I a couple of days ago, but I'll honor that agreement there, Hector. A couple of days ago, I think we're kind of sharing a brain here. I'm taking the field over the Dodgers to win the World Series. I am. It's hard to three-peat. Just ask the Chiefs. It's not easy. And last year, the Dodgers, they didn't, but they could have lost. They were on the ropes in Game 6 and Game 7. The point is that they're not invincible. They can be beat. And whether it's the Cubs, or, you know, Phillies, whatever team you want to throw out there, Milwaukee, Atlanta, someone can certainly knock them off before LA even gets to the World Series. And I've been very high on the Yankees. I've been saying it since the jump that they're going to the World Series. I think you're discrediting a little bit, Hector, what the Red Sox are doing by calling it a hot streak. Because even I say, well, they're the hottest team in baseball, but then I kind of couch it with, they're also the best team. Right now, they are. Now, there's 2 months left to go in the season. But it has been remarkable what the Red Sox have done. And they can pitch. Normally, usually when you can pitch, that's sustainable. And when you have that mojo and that magic and that team of destiny feel where everybody left you for dead. Look, the Mets had this 2 years ago. Now, they ultimately didn't win the World Series. They did run into the Dodgers. And I will say if the Dodgers didn't exist, the Mets would have won the World Series that year. But what are you going to do? If Michael Jordan didn't exist, a lot of people would have won championships in the 90s. So it is what it is. But this Red Sox team reminds me a lot of that Met team. They were left for dead. June rolled around. They seemed like they were going to be sellers. The only difference is the Red Sox fired their manager. Obviously, the Mets were not going to fire Mendoza in that spot. But the Mets went on a magical run, and Boston has that same sort of feel. Remember, the Mets pitched their asses off that year, especially down the stretch. And I do think Boston's a big problem. And the last thing you want, if you're the Yankees, the last thing you want, last thing, is a wild card round in Boston. Because even if you survive, and they can, and get through that, boy, is it going to take a lot out of them. And the team they see next could be picking the bones.